I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. While we're thinking about wars that are going on, I yesterday got another thing about that war. The first copy of my book came yesterday, so that's really exciting. And it's got the, It's got the little bomb thing going off on the front of it too. So I'll pass this around. It's an unfinished version that they kind of sent out in advance of doing the first printing. So that's really fun. I'll pass that around for anybody that wants to look at it. Have you found Ephesians 6? We've already sung this morning, and I can't now look at these verses without singing the song in my head. This passage, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, has been the center of the Bible teaching all this week at Family Bible Week. Our theme, as you can tell by now, has been boot camp, biblical outlook and outreach training. We're in the Lord's army. Hoorah! And the central passage about being in the Lord's army is Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Let me read it to you. Follow along. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that as I open my mouth, You would give me words so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador today. Lord, I pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I pray, Father, You would speak to our hearts this morning as You have all week as we've opened up Your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen. Soldiers, I've got some bad news for you. Soldiers, it may not always seem like it, but you are in a war. Christ followers, you are in a war. There is a battle raging in our world, and there are only two sides. The stakes are higher than life and death. The stakes are eternal life and eternal death. The battle rages all around. No one is neutral. There are no non-combatants. There is no neutrality. There is no Sweden in this war. The kids have learned this week that if you are a Christ follower, you are in a war. Not to scare you, but your enemy is fearsome. Your enemy is one of the most powerful created beings in all the universe. He is smarter than you. Did I say Sweden? I meant Switzerland. I'm among a bunch of Swedes and I say there's no Sweden in this war. Switzerland! Switzerland! You heard me say Switzerland. Let me tell you about your enemy. He is smarter than you. Your enemy is more dangerous than you are. Your enemy is more experienced at combat than you are, because he's much older than you are. And he is stronger than you. And your enemy hates you with a vengeance on a scale that you cannot imagine. Your enemy wants to utterly destroy you. He wants to rip you to shreds. The Bible says he wants to devour you. You're in a war. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. There are resources available to every follower of Christ that will enable us to withstand the onslaught of this fearsome enemy. The good news is that there are resources available in God to every follower of Christ that will enable you to stand your ground when this enemy attacks. That's the point of Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. There are resources available in the Lord to every Christian that will enable us to stand our ground when this enemy attacks. The Apostle Paul is saying in this passage that we possess the armor of God, which are the resources necessary to withstand the onslaught of Satan and his war host. And Paul is saying that God wants us to engage in spiritual warfare. That's not just for some special class of believers. For every Christ follower to engage in spiritual warfare, taking up and putting to use the resources of God Himself to fight spiritual battles. Isn't that good news? Let's see how Paul describes the battle. Look at verses 10 and 11. Finally, he's coming to the end of Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. In other words, get ready for a fight. Get ready for a fight. Get your strength up because you're going to need it. You're going to have to take your stand against the schemes of the devil. Everybody know the devil has schemes? Oh yeah. He's got battle plans and tricks. He's got plans of attack for taking you down. What he doesn't have ready already, he's drawing up right now. And Paul says, soldier, get ready for a fight with Satan's schemes. Get your strength up because you're going to need it. But notice, and this is all important for this passage, where does it say to get your strength? It doesn't say to pump iron, right? It doesn't say to look deep within yourself. It doesn't say to beef up your moral resolve and your willpower for defeating the enemy. On your own, you do not have what it takes. You are going up against the most powerful weapons of mass soul destruction in the universe. Where are you going to get the strength to withstand the spiritual equivalent of the atom bomb? What's he say? Verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Get ready for a fight, but don't think you've got what it takes to stand up to Satan. You don't. But as we learned this winter in 1 John, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There's a fuel supply, a spiritual armory that is more than able to successfully repel the attacks of the evil one. And it's God Himself. God Himself has committed His own resources. It's His armor. It's not just the armor He supplies. It's His armor to fight your battles in this world. So Christ follower, stand your ground by drawing strength from God. Verse 12 makes it clear who the enemy is. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We often think about our enemies as being other humans. That's what he means by flesh and blood. And sometimes, in some senses, they are. Child abusers, murderers, thieves, rapists, hostile nations, and so on. Terrorists. But standing behind those flesh and blood enemies and below them is a darker evil. We sometimes think that our enemies are movie producers, pornographers, liberal theologians, dangerous politicians, magazine publishers, internet enemies. But standing behind those enemies and below them is a darker evil. They are but puppets in the hands of these enemies, rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil. We need to understand and be aware that Satan has a huge network of secret agents. These are demons on every level with orders to attack. They're a spiritual mafia behind the scenes on different levels, joined together for a dark and dangerous purpose, the tearing down of human souls. That's whom we battle. And where are they? Last phrase of verse 12. In the heavenly realms. That means the unseen realms. The world that is more real, more concrete, more substantial than this one, but the world that is, for right now, unseen by our human eyes. So your enemy is fearsome, in control of a huge army of fallen angels who are joined together to destroy you, and your human eyes can't even see them coming. So Paul says, get ready right now by drawing on God's power. That's what the armor of God is. It's the armor of God is the powerful resources of God to fight every spiritual battle we'll ever face in life. So Paul says now in verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. We've had a lot of fun this week with, army type themes. It's been a lot of fun. But this is also deadly serious. What is this day of evil? I don't think that means just one particular bad day. I think it means the times when Satan seems to be really on the attack. Sometimes Satan pulls away and retreats and he regroups and looks for an opening. He did that with Jesus. Do you remember? Satan left Jesus after the temptation in the wilderness, not for good, but to wait for an opportune time to strike again. So sometimes Satan and his minions aren't on full attack mode. But that doesn't mean the war is over. It means get ready because he'll be back, and this time with a vengeance. I think that's what the day of evil means. Those times when Satan seems to be coming on strongest. Maybe you're in the midst of a day of evil right now. The midst of a trial, a loss, a relational problem, a major worry. Maybe you're in the midst of a temptation, some sin that keeps dogging your heel, some worm that Satan keeps dangling in front of you and you keep going for the bait. Or maybe in an accusation, some sin that you've been forgiven of that he keeps pounding you on. That's Satan's major schemes right there. As he tempts you, and the second you cross the line, he accuses you. Right? Oh, come on over here. It'll be just so wonderful. Then you cross the line, and then he says, you are trash. You are nothing. We sing that song, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Or maybe right now is a time where you have a supernatural manifestation of Satan's power, a paralyzing fear, or demonic oppression, or something like that. It's the day of evil for you. God has something for you on that day, in those times, to verse 13, be able to stand your ground. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe you can stand your ground? Do you believe that God has something for your every spiritual need? It's what we saw last week in Isaiah 40. Spiritually weak people who hope in the Lord will get spiritual strength from God Himself. Do you believe that God has purchased resources by the death and resurrection of Christ that will help you to not fall when the battle presses in hard? That's what this passage says. We don't do it on our own. We don't have to muster up the courage. We don't have to arm ourselves. We don't have to find it in ourselves to live the Christian life and to fight the daily battles with the tempter, with the accuser, and with his agents of darkness. Because God will do it for us. God has done it for us. Earlier this week we sang, Mighty, Mighty Savior. He has made it all possible through His Holy Spirit for us to take full advantage of His mighty power for living. That's what it means to take up the full armor of God. I love that phrase, full armor of God. It's not the half armor or the partial armor or a little bit of armor or most of the armor. It's the full armor of God. There are lots of words for armor in the Greek language, but this one means everything you need for success in battle. So that when it's strapped on, you've got everything you need to stand your ground. And that's exactly what Paul tells us to do in verses 14 through 18. We don't have to retreat from Satan, and we don't have to fear. We just have to stand firm, he says, because God's got an armor for you. Put it on and stand firm. Verses 14 through 18 are a description of the armor of God and a call to put it on, to appropriate by faith the mighty, powerful resources of God. There are seven armor pieces or weapons here. Lots of imagery that is easy to remember. Our kids have studied each piece this week in their classes. Let's look at them quickly, one at a time. The first is the belt of truth. Verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Truth here is pictured as a great belt tied around your midsection. And remember, whose armor is this? It's God's armor. And He's giving it to you. Paul is saying it's God's truth around your waist. Let me give you a biblical definition of truth, because there's a lot of misunderstandings about truth out there. Truth is a description of what really is. Truth is a description of what really is. Did you get that? Truth is a real description of what really is. It's an accurate description of reality. When you go into battle, you want to know the true state of things. You want to know how bad the fighting is going to be. You want to know how strong your side is. You want to know if your weapons will do any good. You want to know if your armor will withstand the attacks of the evil one. Do you want the truth? Yeah. We don't want to be deceived about what we're going into. We want the truth. And I think the reason truth is pictured here as a belt is because everything else on your armor is attached to it. The belt for the Roman soldier did more than just hold up his pants. Okay? My belt hardly ever does anything other than just hold up my pants. Maybe it's a decoration. Okay? But on a Roman soldier, and by the way, Paul might have firsthand experience of what a Roman soldier wears. He might be chained to one right now. If you look at verse 20, he's in chains. He's in prison right now. And there might be a Roman soldier he's even looking at as he writes this. Okay? A Roman soldier, the belt kind of hung everything together. It was the first thing you put on to get yourself ready for a fight. So the question is, do you know the truth of God? Satan is going to come and attack you. He might be doing it right now as I speak. And if you are deceived and don't know the truth, what really is, how are you going to stand? 1 John 4:4. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the truth. It won't feel like that on the day of evil. That's why you've got to put on truth to be ready for the fight. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 14 again, stand firm with the breastplate of righteousness in place. We might say the body armor of righteousness. Holiness must be close to your heart. God has provided righteousness, purity, holiness to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we need to put that on daily, practicing holiness to be able to stand in the day of evil. Satan is going to tempt you, and it's going to be powerful. You are going to want to go his way and not God's. But all the resources you need to say no, including holiness, purity, and righteousness, are available from God. Do you know that you no longer need to sin? Yes, you still have indwelling sin living inside of you. It'll be an internal struggle all of this life. But sin's authority over your life has been broken. Sin is no longer your drill sergeant. You don't have to say yes, sir, to it anymore. God's righteousness is right at hand for you, and you can put it on any time. Now, it won't feel like that on the day of evil. When Satan is attacking, it seems sometimes like sin is our only choice. But God has a breastplate close to your heart that you can put on anytime, anywhere. Third, the boots of readiness. See what Paul says in verse 15. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The picture here is a soldier binding his feet up with leather boots or sandals so that his feet don't twist and turn and lose their sure footing. No teetering and losing your balance, spraining your ankle. Your feet are readied for battle. Have you ever seen all the trouble that professional athletes go to make sure their ankles don't pop out from under them? I mean, they're all taped up, right? The stakes there are just winning and losing a game. Imagine going into war without sure footing. Readiness, the sure-footedness for spiritual battle, comes from where? What's the verse say? From the gospel of peace. That is, the good news that Jesus Christ died for sinners like you and me. peace with God is possible because of Jesus. We need to know that when Satan comes knocking. We need to know that no matter what accusation he tries to push you over with, you are accepted by God through the blood of Jesus. And the gospel makes you untoppable. If you've got the gospel, then you're sure-footed. You're not going to fall over. Right? We sing, "When Satan tempts me to despair, upward I look and see him there that made an end to all my sin." Doesn't feel that way on the day of evil. If you aren't prepared, it'll feel like you've got no place with God when Satan attacks. He'll accuse you of being the worst sinner imaginable, unworthy, unacceptable, wretched, and he'll be half right. He's always half right because he always tells half truths. You are unworthy, unacceptable, wretched sinner. But God has made you worthy, acceptable, and beloved in Jesus. You have peace with God if you've come to believe the gospel, and that'll keep you from tottering on the day of evil. Stand your ground with the boots of readiness. Fourth, the shield of faith. Verse 16, "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." You see the picture here? Satan is attacking you from a distance. He's dipping the tips of dangerous arrows in pitch, and he's lighting them on fire. And then he's aiming them your way. He's got red-hot missiles of temptation, trial, accusation, flying through the air with you in the crosshairs. You are the bullseye of Satan's fiery attacks. But God has a shield for you, and it's called faith. You take it up, and you stand your ground. Faith is trusting in the promises of God to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Roman shields were about 4 feet by 2 feet. Maybe they were 2 feet by 4 feet, I'm not exactly sure. And they were often covered on the front with leather. And the Roman soldiers, afraid of these kind of blazing attacks, would often soak their shields in water before they went into battle. So you get the picture? You're in a fight, it's gotten hairy, the enemy is shooting arrows at you, and wherever they land, flames shoot up. But when they land on your shield, what happens? That's what faith does. God has a faith for you to use in spiritual warfare. They're His promises. Every one of them is true. So if the flame is temptation, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. There is a way of escape. Or if the flame is a trial, consider it joy when you encounter various trials, because the testing of your faith will lead to maturity in Christ. What if the flame is an accusation? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Or if the flame is hardship, my God will meet all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Or if the flame is demonic oppression itself, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So soldiers, raise up the shield of faith. Trust God's promises, and the arrows will go out. They will seem powerful on the day of evil. They're still flaming arrows, but they are not successful against the armor God has for you. Don't fear. Trust Him. Fifth, the helmet of salvation. Verse 17, take up the helmet of salvation. No soldier goes into battle without his helmet. This helmet in verse 17 is the reminder of the salvation that is to come. Elsewhere, Paul calls it the helmet of the hope of salvation. That's because victory is certain for the children of God. When Satan attacks, put your hope in God's salvation, which is ready for you, prepared for you by the death and resurrection of Jesus, on the helmet of salvation. So let me give you an idea how this works. When you're in the midst of the war, it seems like the war will never end. But you need to remind yourself daily that this war is already won. It's a real battle. Satan is a real enemy, but he's a defeated enemy. The cross took the fangs out of Satan. He tries to convince himself that that isn't true. He's still fighting, but the decisive blow has been struck. And as long as God has some rescue missions to accomplish, we still have to fight with Satan. But he's a defeated enemy. As Martin Luther's song says, "Lo, his doom is sure." And the helmet of salvation is our reminder to ourselves every day as he comes at us, that we already have the victory. We just have to wait for it. Did you know that? Let me put it this way. You don't have to win the spiritual battle. It's already been won. You just have to stand your ground for Satan's last-ditch attempts to gain an upper hand in your life. Put on the helmet of salvation and remind yourself every day of the victory which is God's for you. 6. The sword of the Spirit. Verse 17 once more. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's family Bible week for a reason. These 66 books are our only offensive weapon. Did you notice that? In the armor of God, only one offensive weapon, the Word of God. Learn your Bible. Know it. Use it. The Spirit Himself has written it, preserved it, put it in your hands in your own language. So get to know it. Whip it out and slash it at Satan. It's powerful. The word for sword here in verse 17 is for the short-handled sword that Roman soldiers used for hand-to-hand combat. This sword is for the times when Satan and his soldiers get right up in your face. You can't flee. You'll want to, but there's no back to your armor. It's not an armor for retreat. It's for standing your ground. James 4:7 says, "Resist the devil, slash back with the word of God, and he will flee from you." I talked a little bit here about demonic oppression. From time to time, my wife suffers from what appears to be demonic oppression. And the only thing that really gives us victory is the quoting of Scripture. We get out the sword of the Spirit and we go right to work, reminding ourselves of what is true and slashing at the enemy with the Word of God. That's what Jesus did in the wilderness, right? He kept saying, "It is written." It is written. Satan keep coming back at him. He'd say, "It is written. Be gone, Satan. Jab, jab, jab." And the devil actually has to run. Take up the sword of the Spirit. Get to know your Bible. You know, I would be a danger to myself with a metal sword. And not a danger to any enemy. I have not spent any time learning how to defend myself with a sword. Are you a danger to your enemy with the sword of the Spirit? Or only a danger to yourself because you haven't spent any time with your weapon? Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to stand your ground. 7th and last, the walkie-talkie of prayer. Okay, the walkie-talkie, those words walkie-talkie don't appear in verse 18. They're not even in the Greek, I won't pretend. But Paul is still talking about spiritual warfare here. And if he were writing it today, it would be a walkie-talkie or some other kind of military communications device. Look at verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, whenever Satan is attacking, and all the rest of the time, with all kinds of prayers and requests, praise, adoration, intercession, confession, thanksgiving. With this in mind, this war, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You're not in this war alone. We're in this war together. If you're a Christ follower, you have fellow soldiers, comrades in arms who need air support. So call it down. That's what prayer is. It's asking God to come and win the battle for you. And He wants to. He's ready to. He's provided everything you need for success, a full armor and all the air support through prayer that you need. He even wants to help you to pray. It says, pray in the Spirit. I think that means in the power of the Spirit. He'll help you to do it if you lean on Him. That's why we're enlisting prayer warriors for the kids going to Miracle Mountain Ranch. It's because we believe that prayer is an effective weapon in the battle against Satan. And we need to pray not just for ourselves, but for others. Take up the walkie-talkie of prayer. Call on the Lord. Trust Him. Take up and put on His provision for your battles. So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. I don't know what your battle looks like right now. But I know that if you're a follower of Christ, you're in a real battle with a real enemy. But I also know that you don't have to lose it. It's already been won. You just need to take up the Holy Spirit's resources for you and stand your ground.